Father, we thank you this morning. Indeed, you are holy. You are worthy of our praise. You are awesome. You make us run out of adjectives to describe you, because you are way above our capabilities in language. No matter the tongue, no matter the language, we can't adequately describe you. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. You are before all is, and in you everything consists. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you because indeed we have your attention. You are mindful of us. Thank you because we gather like this unto you. We are grateful for your tangible presence. Grateful for your love. Grateful for your word. Even as we look in your word again this morning, thank you for breathing upon it, making it come alive in our hearts, making it do that which only you can do. And thank you for confirming those words with signs and wonders, with miracles and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. All the praise we promise to give to only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 22. And I'm going to try to, now I'm going to wrap up. Not I'll try, we'll wrap up. Matthew 22. For quite a while, I've been speaking about life is about relationships. And I think you'll help me. This is part what? Six. This is part six. Actually, my notes, I have it up to part four. And I think I spoke along those lines in 2008. So this is an expansion, as it were. And I was listening to, was that Jerry Savelle? And he said, T.L. Osborne, late Dr. T.L. Osborne told him that it seems like God will give you a message and then he will bring it back, you know, some 8-10 years later and expand what he's saying or what he said back then. So this is quite an exact replica of what T.L. Osborne told Jerry Savelle, which Jerry Savelle told me. Hallelujah. So Matthew 22, so for several weeks, that is for 5 weeks, I have delved into the topic, life is about relationships. Can I hear you say life is about relationships? So we will wrap it up today. I'll do a recap also, and then I will go into the final part of the things that I believe God will have us, you know, look into today. I welcome all those who are also online. You know, you're online. I welcome you, whether now, whether later, and I trust that God will speak to you. Last Sunday, I wasn't here. It was a pleasure to be in Ibadan. I spent the weekend in Ibadan with the church, celebrating the 23rd anniversary of the church in Ibadan. And God has been good to us. In 23 years, in fact, recent discussions with people, I had calls to talk about certain ministers. And I tell them, you know, that person was at SGA before. You know, this one went through SGA before. This one in this country, this one over here, this one who is resident pastor of that church. And God told me many years ago, he said, I'll raise leaders out of this place. I think he's done that in many folds. Hallelujah. So we have many people whose lives have been impacted. That's one way of the impartation. There have been many other ways. They were discussing, you know, years ago, started doing, having scholarships and all that for children, primary school, pay their school fees. If you do very well, you get all of our school fees, books, this, that. And I could hear them say, the first set of people that got scholarships from the church are now graduating from the university. You know, so I know also that there are some that are abroad. I know at least one who got a scholarship to go to university abroad. And these were people, some of whom probably would not have gone to university at all. And some of them are graduating now, becoming engineers, and what have you, you know, all over the place. So I think God indeed has been good. Hallelujah. And the Grace Community Center complex is making progress. Hallelujah. So we in the complex there, we have two buildings and a half. So two buildings that are there, and then there's an uncompleted building at the back in that complex. So as it is, we finished paying for one building. Whatever way you want to look at it, we finished paying for the half. And then we are now paying for the second building. Okay, so which we believe God will be completed by the end of the year. Amen. And then we can do some renovations and all that. And then we'll have the full-blown vision of Grace Community Center being done. Even though a lot of that is already being done, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God will present the spirit, soul, and body whole on that day. So he wants spirit, soul, and body whole. Can I hear you say whole? So spirit, we deal with church and church activities, that spirit, amen. So soul, I mean, even this month, next month in August, they'll have the summer, whatever they call it, summer school or something, you know, that annual summer or whatever. They've had computer appreciation classes, not just for children, but even for parents. So we've had parents who have never used a computer, who have been now opening email addresses, because church did classes for them and all of that. So spirit, soul, and then body. Body, I don't think they've done much body, but body will also come. I'm saying that because that will also happen here. Amen. So body will also come in, where you'll have not just recreation activities, also soul, but you'll also have exercise, you'll have all of those things. So you can come here, there'll be a full, well, almost full gym. Amen. You get to play table tennis and whatnot. So you want to relax, you want to exercise. It'll become a full center that deals with the spirit, the soul, and the body. Can I have an amen? But thankfully, we are, what would you call it? 70% gone in the payments. That's what I'm saying, for the building complex in Ibadan. So we're about 70% gone. So. But I found it better when they expressed it and said, we bought one building, we bought this one, we are paying for this one. So I thought that was more graphic and descriptive. So the building where the church meets in is bought. Hallelujah. So the uncompleted one is bought. The second one is being bought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when we started that journey also, we said, God will do it. God will do it. We didn't have anything to count on in the natural, in the physical, but other than God, you know. So you don't look, if we look at the offering and all that, we had nothing to go on, you know, but we said, God will do it. And in all the time of the payment, every other thing that was important has not stopped, you know. So whether scholarships, whether this, the plan was all of those things must not be stopped in order to pay for this. God will provide, and God has provided. Hallelujah. So it's a pleasure, and we had a mighty, mighty move of the Spirit last week. I think God was gracious to us in his word. I'm not sure where you find it if you want to listen online, but it will be somewhere. And we're speaking about the favor of God. Amen. But one of the things maybe I should start with is that don't take God's word for granted. Okay? Don't take God's word for granted. My personal Bible study, sometime last week, I was looking at the book of Amos. And one of the things that struck me was that in Amos chapter 7, God spoke about punishment for his people. Okay? And then he said, first, I think he said there'll be locusts that will come up. And then he spoke about something else. Was that fire or something? But each time he declared and he said, Amos said, he showed him this was going to happen. Then Amos would pray and say, God, don't let that happen to your people. And then God would say, okay, it will not happen. Then the second one again, he proclaimed this doom upon them. And then Amos said, God, don't let that happen to your people. And God said, okay, it will not happen. Then he said, you know, thirdly, God then said, you know what, that I will ensure that there's a famine. And it will be a famine of my word. And Amos said, it's all right. Just left it alone. And I thought to myself, what an error. Because that was a more terrible thing than the first two. Whatever we may go through, if God isn't speaking to you, if the word doesn't come alive to you in your situation and all of that, you are in a terrible state. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not what you are going through that is the issue. That's what we're speaking about this morning at the Bible school. It's not what you are going through. It's the fact that you know that God is with you because you can hear his word. You are reading the Bible and he's telling you don't give up. You are reading the Bible and it's encouraging your heart. That is more important than anything else. Okay, so in Amos 8 again and verse 11, he then repeated it. And he said, I will send a famine upon my people. It's not a famine of food or bread, and it's not a drought of water. He said, but it's going to be a famine of my word. I thought that's a big, big punishment. Amos missed it because he was praying against natural disasters, or so to speak, disasters. But when God said, my word will not come, he didn't pray against that one. Are you with me? I oftentimes wonder how people survive, actually, when they don't know God. Because I don't know about you, but, I know some of you have had no trouble in your lives. Am I right? How many people have had no trouble? You've never been through any trouble. How many people? Are you like me? So you're like me. You've been through trouble. So the issue is, I wonder how anybody goes through life without God. You know, I really wonder. Because when I go through trouble, I've been in dark places where the only thing I had to hold on to was God said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God said, that's all. I'm looking at the Bible and I say, but this Bible has not changed. This is still what is written here. This is still what is written here. That's the only thing I had to go on. And that was helping me to hold on and build that resilience we were hearing about this morning. And then I'm thinking, okay, if that is what I had to go on, how does somebody go without this word of God? Are you with me? Okay, so that's just Jara, Matthew 22. That's Jara. I won't charge you for that one this morning. Matthew 22, are you there? From verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment? One says, what is the principal commandment? That is the main domain. You know, there's so much talk, too much written in the Bible. Tell us the main domain. What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He said, but hey, it doesn't end there. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, now on these two. Can I hear you say on these two? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What he's saying is that put together everything. So he was talking to those scribes at that time, and he was saying, put together everything you see, what we call the Old Testament. Okay, supposedly, put it all together. He said, everything all of them are trying to tell you are just two things. Everything they're trying to say, you can summarize it and put it in two things, two instructions. Number one, love God with everything. Put everything in the love of God. Everything you've got, all your heart, all your soul, all your might, put it all in and become a complete God chaser. Are you hearing me? One of the things I found is that the reason why we have pain, the reason why we have disappointments, the reason why we go through and we suffer some of the things we suffer, not in the physical, is because there is space in our heart for other things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's because we have space. We have space. We have space for anger. We have space for bitterness. We have space for unforgiveness. We have space for sadness. We have space for all kinds of things because God isn't filling up all the space in our heart. You understand me now? We are not consumed with just going with God. I mean, how else would a Joseph go through life, going through being sold into slavery by his brothers, go to being a prisoner
for serving right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm talking about injustice. Because if you suffer for wrongdoing, it's a different kind of suffering. You understand what I'm saying? It's a different kind of suffering. But when you know that you are right, and then you are suffering for it, there's a different kind of pain that is coming. So imagine yourself, because when the Bible stories were written, they are written about real people. We call them Bible stories, but they're not stories. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? They're not stories like fiction. They are stories about real people. So imagine somebody who did all of his best. He says he knows God. He says he walks with God as a young man and all of that. And then because of that, he gets sold into slavery by his own brothers. And he still loves God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He still loves God. He's serving faithfully. And then he's doing well and his master likes him. And then his master puts him in charge of everything. Huh? And then, while he's doing very well, his master's wife decides, I'll sleep with you. And he decides, no. I cannot sin against God. Then he goes to prison. Because he cannot sin against God. And he still loves God. Are you following what I'm saying? He still loves God. He's not getting angry. Now you can immediately begin to compare him with Job. Abi, whose wife even told him, Oga, are you still holding on to this, your loyalty? Curse God and die. What did God do you? Abi? So, he's in prison. He's doing very well. The prison warders like him. They give him special privileges. And then he sits there because he loves God. The gifts are still working very well. He interprets dream for people. And then he tells these guys, this is what will happen to you. And then it happens. He tells this one, the king will restore you to the palace. The man gets restored. He said, when you get that, don't forget me. And guess what the guy did? He forgot him. And he still loves God. Are you with me? He's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not thinking to himself, why did God forsake me? After all my faithfulness to God, how come even when I interpreted dream for this guy and that's what took him back to the palace, yet the man still forgot me here? God, where are you? I'm done. Isn't that what you hear from many people? I'm done. I'm done following God. What is all this Bible? What is all this church? I'm done. But it was never done. Listen, that's how come eventually he could see his brothers and there was no bitterness. He had too much of God inside of him that there was no space for anything else. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything. Put everything into the love of God. Can I have an amen? And then he said, hey, guys, don't forget, the second one is just like it. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, the commandment is what? Love. And it's in two parts. Your love for God and your love for people. That's all. Because again, the commandments of God were given for us to live by. That's why the psalmist said, your words are a lamp to my feet, Abby, and a light to my path, showing me the pathway through life. They are supposed to be lived by. He said in Psalm 119 verse 128, he said, I have adjudged God, or I have adjudged it, that everything that God has to say, he's right about everything. That is, I've come to the place that God's word about everything is correct. Are you with me? Psalm 100 verse 5, he said, your truth endures to all generations, meaning that it is very relevant to all generations. There's nothing old school about Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that same instruction for life that has always existed will always be relevant to this day and age. It doesn't matter whether you are Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen X, Gen whatever you might be. This Bible is still relevant. If you are going to live a good life, then you'll have to pay attention to the scriptures. He said, look, these are the scriptures. That's what Paul wrote Timothy. He said, those holy scriptures have made you wise from your youth. They have made you wise. Those things made you wise. They just improved your wisdom. The scriptures are for our wisdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And what does the scripture say? It says you have to love God and love people. And that's what we've been talking about. That means that is the entirety of life. If you want to summarize life, that's what life is about. Your love of God will take you to talking about God's will for your life, God's divine call over your life. What does it mean, ministry? It just means what is God's direction for your life. Because if you love God, you'll be concerned about what God's plan is for your life. What does he want you to do with your life? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this has several dimensions that we could go into. We can start talking about that and saying, look, God has a will. Psalm 139, 15, 16. God has a will. He has a plan. In fact, the psalmist said he has a plan that is so detailed that it contains every day. Not just destiny, the way we know destiny. He says that in your books were written the things that you had in mind for me every day before I was born. So when I love God, I start looking for his will. That's one aspect of looking for his will. But when I love God, I also want to please God. In the sense that I want to know what are the things that God says not to do. What are the things that God says to do? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we get that right. So on the other hand, and I said this, I mean, again, we that many of those dimensions that we didn't get into, but we then spent a lot more time talking about how you deal with people. Okay, how you deal with people. And we said so many things. I'm not even sure I have the time anymore to recap them. But like I said, we have 5 parts ahead of this that you can go into. So let me just go into what I'll have today. Okay, we've spoken about things like how you use your tongue. But last time I was talking about what? The different kinds of key relationships. 3 key relationships actually in your life. How many people remember? When I talked about your parents. Abby? You know, you a few times I've had to speak to people when they get married. Say, I don't care what my parents feel, they don't support it. Actually, you know, generally as a rule, I ask people, oh, you are dating this person. I say, okay, good. Have your parents met him or her? I say, what do they think? I ask them, what do your siblings think? You know, apart from, you know, some other people, oh, I'll be your pastor, blah, blah. But I ask them, what do those people think? And I say, you know why I ask that question? Because your parents and your siblings won't marry you. Abby? They don't want to marry you, Abby. Am I right? The only thing they want is the best for you. So all they are looking out for is this person good for this person? And when they raise, it doesn't mean they're always right. Are you with me? It doesn't mean they're always right. But when they raise an issue, it should concern you. It shouldn't be a case of, you should be interested to know, why do you not like him? Why don't you like her? You understand what I'm talking about? Because there's something they might be seeing that you are not seeing, and they were put in your life for a purpose. They're an important safeguard. They are not going to marry you. And yet they want you married. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Now, there are things that are biases. I don't want to get too distracted, but it's okay. Sometimes those things minister to somebody or the other. There are things that are biases. I was listening on radio one day, and this guy was talking about how some parents are just difficult and blah, blah. And there was this person, I just called him and said, the parents will not agree and this and that. And then he just went and he organized and asked him if they will come and marry them. And he went and he married them. And I thought, hey, you just go and marry people you don't know. And they told you that the parents are not for it. You said, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Ah. Are you with me? You know, that's why also church is a safeguard. Church is a safeguard. I spoke about second key relationship, what? Pastors. Safeguard. There are all kinds. God has different ministries. Different ministries, okay? And God's organogram has different tentacles. Primarily 5 tentacles to start with. Apostles, evangelists, prophets, teachers, and then it has pastors. Okay? Now, the key thing, very often there are combinations of offices. But that pastoral office is very important. Most times you find it in the Bible using the word shepherd. Shepherd. I think there was a mention of it on the side in the Bible school this morning. If you followed that, you heard a bit of that. That says shepherd the people. Shepherd is different from preach to the people. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you look at that word shepherd in Acts 20 that we're reading this morning, if you look at the Amplified, it has in bracket, it says tend, feed, and guide. Tend, feed, and guide. So there's a tending, there's a feeding. The feeding is when you hear somebody preaching and teaching and all of that. And that's just a part of the work of the shepherd. In Hebrews 13, it talks about the people that watch over your soul. That one is not done necessarily just on the pulpit. Then it talks about guide. When somebody can look at you and say, ha, that thing you want to do is risky. Ah, don't take that step, oh, because the Bible says this. That is guiding. Are you still with me? It's not prophetic. Okay? Prophetic is different. Where I can see something, and there are many things sometimes that I know about people, I don't even say a word, I just pray. There are some things I say, and when I say them, I don't say them out of God told me this. I just ask the person, what about this? What's going on? Are you getting what I'm saying? So I won't tell you God said anything. What's happening? You tell me this. Okay, have you thought about this? Have you done this? Have you looked at it this way? That's all. In the New Testament, the prophets are not meant to lead you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The prophet can confirm what God has been laying on your heart, but he's not going to be the one leading you. I've taken three names to the prophet. They will pray over it and tell me which one I should marry. Are you still here? I think I said there's only one time that out of a prophetic, I told somebody, don't marry that person. And I was late, but I still told the person. I called early that morning and I said, that person you told me about, have you said yes? She said yes. I said, ha. I said, I woke up like I had a voice. Tell her not to say yes. And I told her, I said, if you decide to go, because prophet is not supposed to be the one leading you. I said, if you decide to go still, fine, and I will do my best to support you as best as I can. I said, but I had tell her not to say yes. Are you with me? But we like flashy. Okay? That's one of the banes of Christendom. But as a quick description of God's plan and organogram, that shepherding is key. I was talking about scriptures and I was talking about the fact that Jesus saw the people, they were like sheep without shepherd and they were scattered, they were distressed, they were this. Why? Because that shepherd role, that pastoral office is very, very key. I have no regard for a minister who has no pastor. Did you hear what I said? I have no regard for a minister who has no pastor. That means even every minister, including myself, must have a pastor, someone that he listens to, that shepherds him, that can tend, that can feed, that can guide. When I say a minister who doesn't have, who originated out of nowhere, or who is a great apostle and is everywhere, but he has nobody, and I don't care who that somebody is, popular or not, he has nobody that can call him and say, I need to see you. You preach so and so thing, I listen to you. It's not exactly as you said it. Explain further. Why, how did you get that revelation? Are you getting what I'm saying? Where that is missing, there's big trouble. Enough said for the wise. Hallelujah. Okay, so today, I started off, the role of your peers. So again, in relationships, there are people that you consider your peers, your friends, your colleagues. Those things are going to be very important as to what happens to you in life. Who you keep company with determines how you end up. Let's read a few scriptures. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. So one of the easiest ways, I mean, I said before, somebody said, that will remain the same, except for the books we read and the company we keep. I think today we had, and the, the music we listen to and the movies we watch. So I will add two more things to it today. Okay, so back in the day when he said it, he said, you will remain the same except for the books you read and the people you move with. I will add the books you read, the music you listen to, the movies you watch, and the people you keep company with. All of those things are going to influence what happens to you because they will influence how you think. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's irrespective of who you think you are, or how anointed you think you are, or how much of a staylight you think you are. I've been saved for 20 years. It doesn't matter. Keep the wrong company, you'll be in trouble soon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing that is standard. One of the things that happens is that the devil is ever after the believer. In Matthew chapter 4, when the Bible talks about Jesus being tempted, he said after the third temptation, the devil left him for an opportune time. Meaning, one says he left him for a season. Meaning, he only left him for a while. There's nothing like I have passed that level where he's not coming after me. And the truth is that he's subtle in his approaches. And the biggest approach is to bring influences. You know, as I'm saying that, I'm remembering this king. I don't know, his name skips my mind. I think it was Ahab. It was King Ahab. And he was going to go to war. And he called the king of Judah, which is Jehoshaphat, and said, look, we are friends, we are blah, blah, in-laws and everything. Let's go to war together. There are some lands I need to reclaim. And then Jehoshaphat said to him, because he was a godly man, he said to him, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the word of the Lord today? Meaning, we need to hear what God is saying about this matter. And then the king said, the Bible says they called together the king, all the prophets. Are you still following me this morning? Okay, so they called together all the prophets, the king's prophets, and I thought that was interesting. They were the king's prophets. So he had a prophetic leaning. He called together the king's prophet, and he said, tell us, I want to go to war. And he said, look, you will defeat the Syrians like this, you will kill all of them like this, you will defeat them to the left and to the right, you will wipe them out and all that, you will come back victorious. One of them, Zedekiah, made a horn. Don't let me go there. One of them made a horn and said, this is the way you will just be tearing them like a bull and just be knocking all of them out. And then Joseph had looked and said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Wow. So the guy looked and said, he had discernment. He said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? So all these ones I have been speaking. The guy said, no. Find a prophet of the Lord. Then the king said, there's actually one guy, Micaiah, but he never says anything good. He doesn't say anything I want to hear. That's why I don't even give him, I don't bless him like I bless all these ones. All these ones now, I buy them car, I buy them this. They are good people. That one is madness, is much. And Joseph said, we won't go until we hear from him. So they sent a messenger to Micaiah. The messenger got there and said, you see, the reason why your church is like this, you don't have SUV, you don't have anything, you don't have money, is because you don't know how to prophesy. He said, so, now the king has asked me to call you. This is what the others have said. I'm giving you a rejo now. So when you get there, just say what they said. The man said, I will not say anything except what God says. Then he got there, I think on the way, he thought to himself, he said, all these days too that I've been saying what God says. No money. No kidding. So when he got there, he said, Bekai, what do you have to say? He said, you will defeat them. Then he said, don't lie to me. Oh. Then the man said, look, you are not going to return from that battle. He said, but this is where I'm going. He said, I saw that there was a vision. And I saw demons gather. You know, I saw spirits gather. And they said, who will deceive or who will lead Ahab to his death? And all of them started coming up with all kinds of tactics. We'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. And it looked like, no, it won't work, it won't work, it won't work. Then one of them said, I will get him to go into battle. And there he will be killed. And he said, how will you do it? He said, I will become a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. He said, go, you will succeed. What do you mean by go, you will succeed? Because the man just believes everything. Are you hearing me? Oh my. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. Okay? And that truly was the one who succeeded. And Ahab died accordingly in battle. In fact, when they were going in battle, I guess he was a little afraid that maybe what Micaiah said might be true. So he told Jehoshaphat, he said, you wear your own regular king armor. Me, I will disguise. I won't wear the king's armor. You know, and we'll go into battle. Then they went into battle, and the enemy's king told his men, he said, don't fight anybody, no soldier, no nobody, except that King Ahab of Israel. That's the only person I want you to fight. Just look for that one king. That's the only person I want you to kill for me. So all the soldiers were out there looking for that guy. He was disguised. They got to Jehoshaphat. They put, Jehoshaphat, they say, it's not him. It's not him. And they left him alone. And then one of them just shot, you know, all this, what do you call it? You know those bullets that we thought? I know, the bullet that just go, stray bullets. So one of them just shot. It was a stray arrow. The thing just went pew, and pierced him. And he died in his disguise. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 13. I believe some of those things were said for some people. Okay. Proverbs 13, are you there? Verse 20. He said, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Remember what I'm saying? That your relationships will make you. He who walks with wise men will be wise. So one of the easiest ways to be wise is to find wise people, walk with them. Become friends with them. Just look and say, that person, I like the way he does things. And you don't even have to go and say, can I be your friend? Just be the friend. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, just be the friend. What are the things that make friendship? Yeah, just around the person. You talk to the person. You visit when possible. You give gifts sometimes. I mean, isn't that those are the things you do with your friends? So you want to be friends with a wise person, just begin to do it. And why are you doing it? Because he that walks with the wise will be wise. Okay? The companion of fools will be destroyed. Go to chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 24. So now on the opposite side, it says what? Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. Why? Lest you learn his ways. What does that mean? You become like him. An angry man is a furious man. Before you know it, even you will be shouting. You will get on the street one day. What's wrong with all of you? And people will wonder, what happened to you? Because you've been friends with an angry man. Are you with me? Let's top it up in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So remember what we're saying. That relationship is key. That relationship would make you. They used to tell us when I was growing up, they say, show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. That means just show me the people you are working with and I will tell you what you will become. That's who you are. Are you following what I'm saying? In recent times, I've had to, you know, deal with some people who had some changes, and I knew that they got into some relationships. They had certain relationships that had come into their lives, and that's why things were changing. It's just about influence. Are you with me? You know, even in ministry, people are shocked because they're shocked that the people, I know a number of people, but I keep at an arm's length. The number of people that I know that I'm not very close to, I don't talk to them frequently, but I know them, and sometimes I know them very well from way back. Somebody asked me about somebody one day, a minister one day, and he said, "Ah, this person, blah, blah, blah." So I said, "Oh, I know him." He said, "Oh, you do?" I said, "Yeah." So I told him one or two things. "Ah, you know him that well?" I said, "Go and ask him. Ask him if he knows me." But the only reason is because I watch who I keep company with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I watch who I keep company with. If there are certain things I'm seeing that I don't want them to rub off on me, I keep my distance from you. Because I don't want those things to rub off on me. Some of those things people may not even know, but of course, okay, say ministry, blah, blah. There are things I would know about certain people that you may not know. But because I know those things, and I say to myself, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to become like that. So I manage those relationships from a distance. And there are people that, oh, it's free. You know, I mean, you see sometimes in introducing or whatever, I've said a few things about people. Maybe some of the people have come here before. You know, and I tell you, like, Pastor Chima, I land in Benin, I call him. How you doing? I'm in town for the night. I came for a meeting. You know, that's just friendship. You know, that has nothing to do with, it's not pulpit, it's friendship. So I'm looking at who is my friend, who I want to be my friend. Because if I come in, he doesn't have to know. You understand what I'm saying? But if I'm calling you, it's because that friendship, I don't mind. I want that friendship. The one that I don't want, I will come in, I will go. 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 You have no clue that I came. I have absolutely no interest. 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? He said, verse 33, do not be deceived. Can I hear you say, do not be deceived? Now, that's important to start with. Okay, think about it. Say it three times. Say, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Now, say it and personalize. Say, I will not be deceived. I will not be deceived. I will not be deceived. Now, what won't I be deceived about? That evil company corrupts good habits. Irrespective of your anointing. Irrespective of your age. Evil company corrupts. Are you following what I'm saying? If you walk with the wrong people, it doesn't matter how old you are. I've said it many times before that peer influence is not for teenagers alone. It's also for adults. So you are thinking about, I want to be on fire for God. Pick the people who are on fire for God. Be close to them. Something will rub off on you. Because in talking, in gisting, you find that they are talking and they will tell you things about how they pray. They will mention something about how they fasted, and that will stir something inside of you. They'll tell you, oh, you know, I was reading my 5 chapters today. They're just gisting. And then your own hair is tingling. Bing, 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 bing. Did he just say 5 chapters? Did he just say 5 chapters? Ah, no wonder. No wonder that he doesn't seem discouraged. Every time I see him, and I know some of the trouble he has, but he seems like he's always happy. 5 chapters. Eh. So that's the secret. He wasn't trying to tell you about 5 chapters. He was just gisting. But in mentioning 5 chapters, you are going to go home and say, how do I increase from 1 to 2? And then one day, by the grace of God, I will reach 5. That's influence. Are you following me? You know, one of the late lessons I learned in medical school, I learned it late, unfortunately, was what we call group discussion. I learned it very late that you need to be in a group. You know, that is that people will have discussion groups where they will discuss topics and all of that, and you have a discussion, they'll form discussion groups and they'll carry it all through. on every subject, on every kidney. They will keep meeting and discussing and answering past questions. Some of us were doing Lone Ranger. We just carry book and read. Carry book and read. Carry book and read. And those books were big. And we're struggling and struggling. But in doing some of the things, somebody has read that part. And you may even have read it, but you didn't understand it. But when they sit down in a group, and you say, this is getting on. And then somebody will answer the question. You say, how did you know that one? He will say, there is an acronym that I formed for it. Those functions. I say, but there are 8 of them. He say, yes, I have a secret acronym that I coined, that I used to remember it. You say, hey, tell us. Then he will tell you, it's CREMTY. He say, hey, CREMTY. We are CREMTY. And all of you will beru. From then on, all of you can remember those 8 things. How long will it take you reading a book to be able to get to it and remember all the 8 things? Somebody else has gotten to it, has managed to coin something that will help everybody remember, and he drops it on your lap in 5 minutes. So I realize, so this is how they pass. As some of us are sweating, you know, there are times you can sweat inside AC. I was moderating at a conference recently. So I said, I didn't know that speaking is difficult like this. Because first I was on a panel. Somebody else was moderating. So I was telling the moderator later. I said, hey, the thing I saw. I said, when I first arrived, I had people there with shit. They were trying to memorize what they would say. Me, I just walked in, bang. You know, and just, maybe they say it's panel, thank God, we are not going to make any presentation. You just talk. So I had a few points in my head. I said, yeah, we just talk. So I just sat down, bam, and I saw people trying to remember. I said, now, wow, am I supposed to have, maybe I'm missing something. Should I have written pages like this? I said, no. Then as they were asking them, I was like number 5 or so, you know, down the line. And then they were asking them to speak, and I saw one of them. His hands were, he was trying to pick the paper. The hands were shaking like this, and I saw sweat. AC, super AC in that room. I said, hey. Then I moderated another one. The guy stood like this, small room like this, but the ACs were working well. But this guy was sweaty all over. You sweat inside AC when you don't know how to work with people. And learn the secrets that they know about certain things that you don't know. You understand what I'm talking about? Because you can't know everything. And there are certain things that some people know how to do. If you don't think that you can do it all by yourself and you don't learn how to work with people, you will sweat more than you should. Are you still with me? You know, in our office, when I first took over, they'll come to me and say, Dr. Odubanjo, we have this problem, this. I said, So what should we do? I said, tell me. He said, tell me. I said, yes. I'm overseeing this place, so I'm overseeing many things. I said, but you have your section. You must be an expert. You must know something by now. There must be something you know about that thing that you do. I said, so when you come to me, you see, problem identification is not too special. You understand? It's not too special. It's solution that makes you special. Abi, if fire is burning here, now everybody can tell you there's fire burning. Even children say, fire. But how do we put it out? It will take somebody who knows something to tell you that. I mean, if you can carry, for instance, a bucket of water, and somebody will say, hey, don't use water. If you use water for that kind of fire, it will increase. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, and somebody will say, this one, put soap. If somebody will say, this one, it's not this extinguisher you use. Go and use sand. So finding fire is not the issue. I said, come and tell me what you think. Tell me what the problem is. Then you come with solutions. We can do 1, we can do 2, we can do 3. And say, but I prefer number 2. And you tell me why. I said, now when you say that, I will listen to you. I will think about it. If I disagree with you, I will tell you why. Then if there's something wrong with my thinking, you will tell me again why. Are you with me? Because you can't know everything now. Are you still there? So you must know how to deal with people. Okay, so let me say four things very quickly. Four things. Number one, you must choose your friends carefully. So choose those people that come in your inner circle very, 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 very carefully. Because they are going to influence you. Okay, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, the righteous must choose his friends carefully. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? Meaning, except they agree on direction. If you are not going in the same direction, you can't go together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going to, where now? Mowi? Abi? Say, I'm going to Mowi. Is it Mowi or where is, you say, I'm, huh? Mowi? I'm going to Mowi. I say, I'm going to VI. Then I say, can we go together? Let's go. One of us will end up in the wrong place for sure. Abi? One of us is going to be wrong at the end of the day. One of us will be where he or she doesn't want to be. So you must choose carefully who's your friend. I called to talk to somebody recently and issues. I'm talking of a minister. And I said to the wife, I said, you know, said, how are all these friends? I said, honestly, he doesn't really have friends. I said, those of us who should be have been kind of cut off for a long time. I said, we've been cut off for a long time. He's pushed us away because he knows what he wants to do. He has a direction he's going in, and except you are just going to go with him, he's cut us off. Are you with me? Choose your friends carefully because they will influence you. Number two, know how to treat people. Treat people right. Know how to handle people. Okay? If you're going to maximize relationships, go to Colossians chapter 3. I think that's a good, very good scripture on that to look at. So whatever I'm not reading, I assume you're writing down. Okay? Colossians chapter 3. Look at it from verse 12. Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore. Okay? So this is how we ought to be. This is how we ought to relate. Therefore, as the elect of God, meaning that now that we are saved, it doesn't matter what you did before. It doesn't matter how you were before. It doesn't matter your predisposition before. This is who you should be now. Or at least who you should be walking towards actively. Can I have an amen? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies. Can I hear you say tender mercies? What's mercy to you? Some define mercy as what? That which ensures that you don't get what you deserve. That's in the negative. Get what you deserve in the negative. So this is the judgment you should receive in the negative, but mercy says no. So put on tender mercies. Kindness. Can I hear you say kindness? You know, believers ought to be kind people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, when I was in school, some of our toughest teachers, don't let me use the word tough. The word tough doesn't quite say it. Some of our harshest teachers were Christians. Maybe you can say most cruel teachers. Never forgiving. Never. No. You are in trouble when you're in trouble with them. You know, were Christians. And I thought that was very hard. I thought it was very hard that everybody saved like me and unsaved thought that this was the most wicked teachers we had. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of them thought that was righteousness, but it's not exactly righteousness. Are you seeing the picture? It's not righteousness. There has to be an element of kindness inside of you. When everybody saved and unsaved perceive you to be wicked, something is wrong. Are you with me? He says, what? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering,
bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do what? You must do. And above all, these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So just read those verses again and again and again and again. If you treat people in line with this, make this your principles of operation, you will maximize your relationship with people. Are you following what I'm saying? You will maximize your relationship with people. You will get the best out of them. They will do the best with and for you. Hallelujah. Those relationships will be a blessing more and more to you. Are you with me? Number three, don't cut people off too easily. You know, some people are too fast. Done with that, but I'm done with him. I'm not picking his call anymore. Because he did one thing. You don't know what he did. Okay. Where does forgiveness come into play? I'm not saying that the person might still be the closest to you, but why do we just like to cut? Somebody said, be careful about the bridges you burn, because you may need to go over it again. Or you burnt down that bridge already. You know, I've said before, years ago, I was working in the civil service. And the chief pharmacist in one of the hospitals where I'd worked wrote a petition against me, sent it to the ministry, said, this guy doesn't come to work. He's not on call. When he's on call, he doesn't stay there. He lives in Ibadan. This was out of town. He said, he lives in Ibadan. He doesn't stay when he's on call. He's not on duty. Everything a lie. Every single thing was a lie. In fact, as God will have it, the day he was going to put down his petition and all that, I saw him. And I saw him going with his friend, who was the director in the ministry. And then I got home that day, and I got a call. And the permanent secretary said, Dr. Banjo, I need to see you on Monday morning. You know, there's a petition from the governor's office. I said, me. There's a petition against you. So I told my boss, I called my boss, and I said, this is what call I just got. I said, and I know where it's coming from. It's this person that did it and all of that. The man said, well, don't worry, just go and see them. You know. So I did. I went there. I've said it before. I thought I would, you know, press all kinds of buttons, and God said, don't do anything. Don't involve anybody. Don't call anybody. I just thought I would drop a storm and call everybody I knew. You know, and make sure that I use all my connections there. And God said, don't do anything. Just go and see the person who said you should come. So I went there, saw the lady, and the lady just said, look. I said, hey, ma. Lady said, I got a petition. This is it. I said, ma. She said, don't say anything. I said, ma. She said, don't say anything. She said, the only reason I've called you is to warn you that not everybody around is your friend. Not everybody around you is a good person. She said, and I've only called you to warn you, because if you were my son, this is what I would do. I'm only warning you, be careful. There are evil people around you. That's all I wanted to tell you. She said, you are not the first person they will write such against. I'm only warning you. Be careful about the people around you. So she was saying, I know it's a lie. I know they are trying to deal with you. And I'm only warning you, be careful of the people you are working with. There are evil people there. So I just thanked her and I left. So that was the end of the petition. But again, later on, I was posted to another place, and I needed help. Needed help in my pharmacy section, needed help with setting it up and stocking it. And because after that, the man saw me, and whenever he would see me, he would go this way. He would just touch. He sees me coming this way, he would go that way. Then I will also go that way. So that he can't avoid me. Then we will meet. And I'll greet him. Morning, sir. How are you, sir? Ah, good morning, sir. Very good to see you, sir. Hey, well, yes, sir. You know, and then I'll continue. Then you'll see me, you'll go that way, I'll go that way too. Ah, morning, sir. Hey, well, yes, sir. Yeah. You know, and I'll greet him till I left the place. I never acted like anything towards him and all of that. And then I was in this other place and I needed help in the pharmacy section. And I thought, what do I do? So I thought, okay, you know what? The pharmacy section in that hospital worked very well. How come he's able to make it work very well in this system that nothing is working? So I got in my car and I drove to the place.
And I went to see him. I said, sir, I need your help. I said, how do you make this place work? I need to make the pharmacy work in that place. I've tried this, I've tried this. The man said, all that will not work. It will not work. This is what you will do. Go to the social pharmacy company, tell them you are from me, you know, and tell them what you want, blah, blah, blah. Then you take it. I said, what about the program of government? Am I not bypassed? He said, no. When you collect the invoice, tell them to take it to the secretariat, give it to the director of pharmacy there, and you just carry the drugs and go. But make sure that they send this invoice to the place where everything will be fine. You'll be okay. Tell them you came from me. That's how I solved the problem. I did what he told me to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I cut him off, I won't have that help. Are you with me? In Acts 15, I'm trying to wrap up, and I know that I'll wrap up in 5 minutes. Is that okay? Acts 15, look at it from verse 36. So, my mom had a driver that used to tell me, say, even a bad boy has his day. That a bad boy has his day. When you say that boy is a bad boy, he said there's a day that bad boy is useful. And somebody else said a broken clock is right at least twice a day. If he stopped at 11:25, at 11:25 a.m. is correct. Abi, at 11:25 p.m. it is correct. Between those two times, it is wrong. For it is correct at least twice a day. Are we? Acts 15:36. It says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they are doing. Verse 37. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Do you understand that? Was Paul right? Eh? Yeah, he said, look, that guy abandoned us. We took him before. When we got to this place, he abandoned us and walked away. We can't take him with us again. No. We can't. We can't do that again. No. I have a similar situation now where they're organizing something in a group I belong to. And the person they put to organize it, you know, when they finished discussing everything, somebody there, one of the leaders, called me and said, okay, about this, this. I said, it's a great idea. I said, but my only struggle is the person you put in charge of it. She said, I said, yes. I said, she abandoned us when we were doing so thing the other time. She said, oh, yes, I remember. I said, that thing is the one that is troubling me the most. The fact that this person abandoned us without any reason. She just abandoned us midstream. You call her, she would not pick the phone. I mean, we were organizing something important. And I said, till tomorrow, she has not explained or apologized. I said, that's my struggle. So I understand what Paul was saying. He said, they abandoned us. So we can't take him. Look at verse 39. He said, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed. Okay? So it caused a big fight between Paul and Barnabas that both of them went separate ways. Paul said, lie. Mark, lie. And they fought so hard, they just, okay, you take Mark. You are insisting on Mark, take him. But we are not coming together. Are you there? 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul was now writing a letter to Timothy. Okay? What did he say? He said, only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bros. Who are you talking about? Mark? He said, get Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful to me for ministry. I think you should go and thank Barnabas first. I mean, thank Barnabas first for not throwing Mark away. Because now Mark is useful to you. Are you there? Very quickly, last point. Learn to apologize. And I hear you say, learn to apologize. You know, years ago, I was struggling with saying sorry to somebody about an issue. And God said, say sorry. So God taught me a lesson. He said, you know, when you say sorry, it doesn't mean you are wrong. It doesn't mean you are wrong. It didn't mean that you did something wrong. It didn't mean that what you did was wrong. He said, but what you are sorry about is that it's making that person feel bad. So you are sorry that person is feeling bad. And so you are not lying. You mean you're sorry. Your sorry is heartfelt because your intention is not to make the person feel bad. He said, so that's what you are apologizing for. Not really that I said sorry doesn't mean that what I did was wrong, but the fact that whether I was right or wrong, because I could also be wrong. Can I have an amen? But whether I was right or wrong, it is getting another result that I do not want. And I'm sorry about that result. I'm sorry that it's making things difficult between us. I'm sorry that you felt bad. I'm sorry that you went away crying. I'm sorry because that's not the intention. Are you with me? In Matthew chapter 5 rather. Okay, you can stand on your feet so you know that I'm closing for sure. Okay, in Matthew chapter 5, 23, 24, where Jesus talks about when you take your gift to the altar, he says, first go and be reconciled. Abby? Verse 23. He says, first go and be reconciled. If you get to the place, you brought your gift to the altar, and you find that your brother has something against you. He didn't say you have something against the person. He said, but you remember that, this person has something against me. He said, leave that gift and first be reconciled. Now, that word reconciled there is only used once in the Bible. And it means to change the person's, thoroughly. And especially mentally. First be reconciled means change how that person thinks about you. Change how that person feels about you. First leave it and go change it. One of the easiest, strongest ways to change it is to come and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it like that. I'm sorry. But first go and change the person's mind about you. That's what it means. Used only that once in the Bible. Change the person's mind. I do it by saying sorry. One of my bosses late now. We had an heated board meeting. And some decisions had been taken. And some of the people were coming, you know, and they were coming with anger to the meeting. And came the man, very brilliant man, very, you know, he would have walked in, don't worry, this one will do. So as we started the meeting and the man walked in, he first goes, he greets everybody, the ones that are much older, Ebeleza. Then he sat down. Then the meeting started. And then they got to the matter. This issue, blah, 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 blah. The man said, hey, I'm sorry. You know, people like me who have been vice chancellors, that's the way we behave. We just make funny decisions. I'm sorry. He said, you know what? I'm even sorry about the next one I will do. And everybody just started laughing. That was the end of the matter. The thing that they had all brought their guns and daggers that today we will kill him. He said, I'm sorry, sir. You know, vice chancellors, we don't think right. We just do anything. He said, you know what? Even the next one we do, I'm sorry already. And that's the reaction. Everybody just laughed. And they left him alone. Are you there? Learn to apologize. Begin to talk to God this morning. I don't know what he said to you. All of that, but begin to talk to him this morning. Whatever struck you is the Holy Ghost pinching you in your heart and saying, this is what you need to pay more attention to. You pay attention to everything, but this is the one, number one thing for you. And that thing, you will pray it in, you will pray it out. You will speak it, you will meditate on it again and again until it becomes part of you.